This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
It's over in the swamp. It got kind of murky there for a long stretch, end of the second, third period of play, but the Maple Leafs hang on and come away with a 4-2 victory as seen on TSN 4. The Maple Leafs getting their fourth goal of the night. It was an empty netter courtesy of Mitch Marner. Zach Hyman was played. Well, the puck was played by Marner, just kind of flipped it towards the net. Hyman stuck out his stick, did not make contact. Mitchy Marner gets it. A good night all around for that line in particular when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Two goals for John Tavares, 300-301 of his career, 28-29 of the season. He's joint in second place in NHL goal scoring on the season, and 2 points for the Buds. They beat the lowly New Jersey Devils by a score of 4-2. Gareth Wheeler with you as we move into post-game mode right here on TSN 1050. The reaction from the TSN panel that's coming up. We'll go inside the Maple Leafs locker room. Mark Masters will be in conversation with a number of the Maple Leafs players. We'll bring it all to you over the next hour and 17 minutes right here on TSN 1050. Look, the Maple Leafs were forced to work far too hard for a game. They were up 3-0 early. It looked like a game that it could have gone out of control. I'm talking like 7 Cobb, 7, you know, like a 6-1, 7-2 final, like the last two times these two teams have played. A minute of madness in the second period, perhaps letting your foot off the gas to a certain degree, made this a real battle to the end in New Jersey. It is our very own Maple Leafs analyst right here on TSN 1050. You can hear him this Saturday night as the Maple Leafs take on the Boston Bruins. Taddy, and this man right here, the great Greg Gilbert, checking in with a little post-game instant analysis and instant reaction. Gibby, what did you think of tonight's performance?
Well, first of all, Wills, thanks for having me. Secondly, you're bang on. They made it a little more difficult than it really had to be. I think this is one of the things that I think is the puzzling factor with the Leafs team is, you know, they come out, they take a 3-0 lead, and they have the opportunity to really bury a team. And it's not so much they sat back, it's just they get a little lackadaisical. And all of a sudden, bang, bang, it's 3-2. And then the third period turns into a panic fest. And not that they panicked a whole lot, but you're only up by one rather than, you know, burying a team. And, you know, for this team to go a long ways in the playoffs, the one thing that every team that is a championship team has to know is you don't let somebody off the canvas when you have them down, and you want to bury them, you want to put them away, you want to make them quit. And this team really hasn't shown that through the, you know, up to this point in the season, that when they do have their foot on someone's throat, they don't step on it. They kind of let it off, like you said. You take your foot off the gas pedal, so to speak, and they let them back in the game, and then, you know, that's when bad things happen. And until they get that killer instinct, it's going to be a challenge for them. I mean, they've got all the skill in the world, there's no question about that, but the killer instinct, if you're not going to bury teams, put them out of their misery, you're asking for a lot of angst, a lot of bad things that can happen.
Right. I mean, watching it tonight, and I'm in studio, I'm doing a show, but my eyes are all over the place. I'm running audio so I can watch the game. That Tavares, Marner line, Hyman, those three, welcome back, Zach Hyman, right? Like, they were running all over this Devils team, as they should, because there's a lot more quality in this Maple Leafs group than there is in the Devils team. But that line kind of paced the Maple Leafs tonight. After that, you're kind of looking and searching, okay, who's got it going on? Because I was looking at tonight being a slump buster for some players that need a goal. Nylander, Kadri, you know, add whatever name you want to that list. But it just seems like that top line or that Tavares line was really good and everyone else was kind of just there. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, very much so, Wills. And that's what's going to have to happen for this team to be successful and go a long ways in the postseason is it's got to eat. As soon as you become a one-line team, you're done. If other guys aren't going to produce, and you know, some of these other players, they're hoping that they're going to produce on the power play. But if you're not going to score 5-on-5, it's a totally different game than it is in the preseason. So, or in the regular season, excuse me. You know, you need everybody hitting on all cylinders, and even your bottom six guys, your third and fourth lines. You know, Nazem Kadri had the great opportunity there. I believe it was in the first period or the second period. I think it might have been the second period, where Kincaid kind of just laid on his back. And, you know, is he snake bit? It doesn't matter. You can say whatever it is, bad luck, whatever, but he's got to find a way to start scoring. Patrick Marleau has to find a way to start scoring. You know, it's like you said, we can go right down the list. You know, I didn't see much out of that Matthews line tonight out of a few spurts. So, you know, if these guys want to be great players and they want to win championships and they want to win Stanley Cups, it's going to take a lot more than what they're showing right now. And tonight, that first line, the top line, the Tavares line, they showed why they earned their keep. I mean, you know, the empty net by Marner, but, you know, the 4-on-4 goal was, you look who was on the ice. I mean, it was Hyman and Brown and Hainsey and Zaitsev against, you know, the more skilled guys that New Jersey had in their lineup tonight. So if you don't figure it out that work ethic, you know, comes before skill, there's a classic example. So, you know, some of these guys that are skilled guys and everybody's counting on to produce high numbers, they're going to have to understand that. And I know in Toronto, especially with the way Babs talks and uses the word work all the time, but it's a fact. It's like you got to pay the price.
Exactly.
To be successful.
And you know what? That's what drives me about the hipster that just looks at, like, the skill player, the guy that has good numbers in this category, that category. You can't legislate or you can't substitute good, old, hard work, hustle, and a level of physicality. And Zach Hyman brings all of that to the table. I'm so sick of people saying, well, why is he playing with this guy or why is he playing with that guy? Well, the reason is because he's earned it. And the head coach of this team trusts them. And if there are more Zach Hyman-type players, just in terms of the mentality and work rate on this team, then maybe a lot of people, including myself, wouldn't be calling them soft so often.
Well, it is an element that they had missed when Zach was out, and really up front, the other player that comes to mind that plays a very similar style, and he's kind of gotten away from it a little bit, is Kasperi Kapanen, you know, Kapanen's got a little more skill than Zach, but you know, everybody, I don't want to say it's the culture wheels that, you know, it's all about skill and flash and dash, but you still need those other elements of the game that are going to do it. Because if you put together a top skill line, and you know, I was on Leafs Lunch today, and the line that I used for an example was the MacKinnon line. I mean, they've got Landeskog and Rantanen and MacKinnon. I mean, that's the perfect line in today's NHL. All three are skilled. All three are not afraid to go to the dirty areas. All three are not afraid to go in for a loose puck first and win the battles. And that's what separates them from a lot of these other lines in the National Hockey League that people think are, you know, highly skilled. And, you know, Toronto, they have the people. They don't have, you know, a lot of grinders, I would say like the Zach Hymans. But the skilled players have to understand that they are responsible to do those things also. And if they think they're exempt from it, then they'll never win a championship or a Stanley Cup. They'll never get past two or three rounds in the postseason tournament. So until they understand in their own minds that I have to do this stuff also, then they're going to be mediocre.
Greg Gilbert joining us here for some post-game instant analysis. The Maple Leafs beat the Devils 4-2 on the night. I am Wheels. I mean, John Tavares has been phenomenal. I know that, you know, the exploits of Morgan Riley and the flash and dash of Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews and all that he brings, like, those guys have all been key contributors. But this is a free agent signing, especially in a market like this where there's been a lot of free agent flops that have come through the door. He looks like great value at $11 million per year when he scored 29 goals already. This guy is a face-off winning machine, and two more goals tonight, Gibby. 29 on the season, second in the NHL. This is a guy that's known for his overall outstanding play, being a good point producer, but not a goal scorer like this. What are you seeing? Is he a product of the system, or has coming home just kind of rejuvenated him and help take his game to another level?
Well, you know what? I think John's always been a very competitive young man, and that goes back to his lacrosse playing days. And he's always, everything he's done, he's always played to win. And he's one of those people that, you know, why am I here if I'm not here to try to win? And, you know, all those years, he had some success, obviously, individually with the Islanders, and not a whole lot of playoff success with that organization. But you look at his numbers every year and the leadership he provided for that organization. You know, that's what builds character in people in the National Hockey League. And, you know, there's a lot of dynamics and things that came into play for him to come back to Toronto, obviously a hometown boy. And he saw the upswing of this team and the direction it was going and the young talent they had. And it's something that enticed him. It's something that he wanted to be a part of. And, you know, even though he's making $11 million and he's performing and he's having all the success, there's numbers that you know, they don't have in analytics, that there's other things that he brings to this team. And, you know, everything that he's gone through with the Island, with the lack of success, but, you know, he keeps on producing every year. And then he comes to a team that's having success and is young and needs to learn. He has not only brought the work ethic and the fact that the experience of what it takes to be good and to do it every day, every year that you're playing in the National Hockey League, whether it be practice or a game. And a lot of these young players should open their eyes, and they have opened their eyes and you know, opened their ears and listened and watched at how he performs and how he prepares and what it means to him to win and lose. And, like, he takes it personally. And I don't think, to be quite honest with you, in the National Hockey League right now, when players and teams lose, I don't think there's enough people to take it personally.
Right.
They think it's somebody else's fault and not theirs. But, you know, he could score four goals and lose a game, and he takes it personally. He doesn't like to lose, because being part of a team, win or lose, is you are part of the team, and you should take it personally. And I think that's what he brings to this team, is the leadership, the work ethic, the experience, and the tutelage that he's given these young players.
Just a couple more things before I let you run, Gibby. Really appreciate your time. Nylander, like, I didn't even notice him tonight. There was this one time, came in on the short side, just kind of flipped the puck towards the net, went, like, there's nothing there. Like, did I miss anything tonight? Or is that kind of his story, just another nondescript, you know, night at the office?
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of work to do. There's no question about it. And I think part of the issue was when he first came over after signing his contract and the long holdout. I honestly, this is just my opinion, and, you know, people can think whatever they want, but I would never have had him in the lineup. And
really?
the reason I would have not done that, put him in the lineup, is because he wasn't ready. And he could skate all he wants with the junior team over there, and but he hadn't put the work in, and he missed training camp. And really what you would have to do to see where he stands before he even starts to play is put him through a mini training camp of his own. Work him for 10 days, get him on the bike and do, or the jar, the treadmill, or whatever they do now, and do the extra work and see where he is, you know, get his numbers, see where he fits. And, because he hadn't played for 2 months plus, with the tempo or the intensity or the physicality that he's going to face in a game. And I think they've put him in a position by putting him in the lineup right away, Wheels, that things weren't going to go well. Things didn't go well, and he thought they would. So all of a sudden he loses his confidence. And in any professional athlete, when they lose their confidence, one of the hardest things to get back for them is to help them get their confidence back, because they think it's just going to happen. It doesn't, and they kind of forget the work that goes into it and the preparation
Sure.
that goes into it. And he missed a lot of that. So, you know, it's a combination of him missing the time. It's a combination of the organization putting him in a position he wasn't ready for, and his confidence has slipped. And now he's the one thing with William Nylander that's always been there is he's always been a perimeter guy in my eyes.
Yeah, me
and
too.
He's got to learn to get to the inside ice if he wants to make $7 million a year. Start earning the $7 million a year.
Right.
Win the battles. Get to the dirty areas.
No sympathy. If you hold out, you want the big bucks, you got to perform. It's on the player right now. The coach is playing him. It's on the player to step up and produce. Last one for you, part of the broadcast Saturday night. 6 p.m. pregame right here on TSN 1050. It's the Maple Leafs taking on the Boston Bruins. Is this a good way to go into Saturday night's game in terms of habits, the way they played, Greg? Because the Bruins lost tonight, but it was to the Stanley Cup champion-winning Washington Capitals. I'm always wary of the team that comes in after losing a disappointing game, like like the Bruins losing to the Capitals. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, if you're coming in with a win in a game where you should have maybe run the team out of the building, I don't know if that like really sets the table or provides the right kind of like template going into a massive game on Saturday night.
Yeah, and it's gonna be a telltale sign of the direction of both teams. And Boston, I don't think you're gonna have an issue of them being up and ready to play, coming into Toronto and trying to take the 2 points out of here. You know, I don't know if you had a chance to see any of the Washington-Boston game, but I was kind of flipping back and forth between the two on breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And the Washington-Boston game was night and day between the Toronto-New Jersey game. So the physicality in the first two periods was unbelievable. I mean, you got Ovechkin putting Chara into the bench with a hit, and it was just, it has to be done. That's how you win hockey. That's, you want to win a Stanley Cup, that's what you have to do. And then you flip back to the Toronto Jersey game, and it was all curlaways, and you know, bumping a guy and then curling away and letting them win the battle, and it was just two totally different styles of games. So Boston's definitely going to be upset coming in after losing against Washington. I'm sure they wanted to win that one. And Toronto better be ready, and maybe better be ready for a battle.
Great stuff, Gibby. Say hi to Jim Tanney for me on Saturday night. Appreciate you stopping by here, and great stuff as always. Okay, pal, thank you.
Wheels, thanks so much for having me. You have a great night.
Greg Gilbert, Stanley Cup champ, former NHL head coach, and our very own TSN 1050 analyst, bringing it right here on TSN 1050, Leafs Bruins Saturday night. Gilbert, Tanney, Bowen, Ralphie, does it get any better than that? The answer is absolutely not. Saturday night, right here on TSN 1050. You're going to hear Mike Babcock from the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, what he had to say after tonight's 4-2 victory. The TSN hockey panel, Duthie, Poulin, the O-Dog, and Bobby Mack, they're going to break down tonight's game. You're going to hear from John Tavares. You're going to hear from Zach Hyman and others. And we'll also open up the phone lines. Have something to say about tonight's Maple Leafs victory. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Toll free at 1-855-591-6876. Mike Babcock coming up next right here on TSN 1050.
This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Two goals for John Tavares, 28 and 29 of the season, and he hits the 300-goal plateau for his career, 300 and 301, the first player from his draft class in 2009 to reach 300 goals scored. Johnny Toronto, as Joe Bowen calls it, continues his standout play, second in NHL goal scoring, and the Maple Leafs double up on the New Jersey Devils. 4-2 is your final. Gareth Wheeler with you. Gord Miller, the man that called the game on TSN 4, he will join me between now and the top of the clock. This was a night where the Tavares, Marner, and Hyman line, they were all over the score sheet, all over the ice. They were thoroughly dominant. The rest of the Maple Leafs, average at best. Not the best night. Again, William Nylander non-existent out there. Just not much doing elsewhere. But that line with the return of Zach Hyman, the first time he's played since the last time the Maple Leafs beat the New Jersey Devils, it was 7-2 that night. He injured himself about a month ago, back on the ice, and was influential all night long. Before we get to the TSN hockey panel, let's hear from the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock, and his post-game comments.
To play, what impressed you about the way they were able to secure the win on the road here tonight?
Well, I really liked our first, and I really liked our third. Obviously, in the second period, we didn't take care of the puck and didn't play right. But the third, I thought we came out and played really well, played in the offensive zone, took care of the puck, gave up very little, and got a good win. Well, I mean, they were plus four. They got, you know, was involved in three east-west goals there, heavy down low. just goes to show you need people to win the puck back, and he was able to do that for us. You know, it was good for Tavares, obviously. 3-on-1 goals, a lot of goals in the National League, and that line was good for us tonight.
What did you like about the third period?
Well, I liked in the third period we didn't back up and play in our own zone. We played the game in the offensive zone. We still had the puck, but we took care of it. We didn't give up much. You know, I thought the first period was like that too. Just the second period, we got away from us.
15 road wins this season, tied for the league best. Is that a mentality that has been developed over the course of the first few months, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, we think we got a good team, and we don't think much matters at home or the road. You know, we've had real good runs in both spots. You know, tonight was a good win for us, that's all.
Okay, just your point participation in terms of those guys getting involved offensively and getting shots through. Did you like what you saw?
Yeah, I really liked I liked our heavy play. I liked our play below the goal line, and D were allowed to shoot the puck. Yeah, you know, to me, tonight was a good night for us. You know, we got a real good game coming up against a real good team. Should be fun.
Thank you.
Short but sweet. As usual for Mike Babcock, real good game coming up. He's alluding to the Bruins on Saturday night. The Bruins lost tonight to the Washington Capitals. Ovechkin with two goals. Ovechkin's two goals away from leapfrogging Dave Andrechek for 14th all-time on the NHL scoring list. And he has 128 multi-goal games in his career. More on that in a few moments' time. But yeah, the Bruins are going to be a different type of test. I didn't think the Maple Leafs played great tonight. A great first period, mind you, against a very bad team. Tonight was a night which should have been a slump buster for the likes of Kadri and Marleau and Nylander. It wasn't. So that should be a little disconcerting. I know Babcock, you know, is a real good win. A win is a win is a win is a win. I get it, but far from perfect. After that first period, this game should have been 6-7-1, 6-0, like that kind of night. But it wasn't. It got close. It was close to the end, and it took an empty netter goal by Mitch Marner to seal it. Let's hear from the TSN hockey panel you watched on TSN4. Here's James Duthie, Dave Poole, and the O-Dog Jeff O'Neill, and the TSN hockey insider Bob McKenzie.
After blowing out the Devils in those first two meetings and leading 3-0 after one period in this one, you could forgive us all for thinking this was going to be another rout, but a funny thing happened on the way to the W. How did this turn into a gritty, tight win?
Well, I hate the stupid hockey cliches, but the one I do like is greasy road win. It's kind of greasy. Maybe you don't deserve it. Things started very well for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They were up 3-0 in the first period. Then in the second, it looked like it was going to get away from them. The Devils got it back to 3-2, but Michael Hutchinson shut the door, and Toronto Maple Leafs took over the hockey game once again in the third, out shooting the Devils 15-3. So in a game where you thought things could get a little sloppy, and another great opportunity for Hutchinson. You know how much Babcock likes that backup goaltender situation. He likes him to be a steady influence back there, and he just did that, and the Toronto Maple Leafs got it back on the rails in the third for the win.
In a league where high-priced free agents are more often than not disappointments, particularly in that first year when they have to adjust, John Tavares is having the season of his life. 29 goals, just 9 off his career high already, and we're halfway through the season, Bob.
You know, it's really funny, when John Tavares was a phenom, and he was that in junior hockey with the Oshawa Generals starting out, I just assumed there'd be all sorts of 40-goal seasons in this guy's future, and he hasn't had one, but he's certainly on pace for one now. In fact, right now, and I realize I hate projections because the league tends to beat them up pretty good over time, but he's on pace for 55 goals, and so to get his 28th and 29th of the season tonight, to get his 300th and his 301st career goals for John Tavares. And you know what? That's really only half the story, because as good offensively as he is, it's the overall durability and the professionalism that he brings. When you look at the 9 seasons, full seasons he's played in the National Hockey League, 5 of them he played didn't miss a game for 5 seasons of the 9. And in the other 4, I mean, 3 of those 4, it was 77 games or more. The one year that he got injured was at the Olympics, and that was his worst year for games played, 59. So it's just ultimate professionalism and consistency, and now he's dealing with some elite offensive numbers.
And one more projection for you, even though we don't like them. 18 road goals on pace to break Rick Vive's franchise record of 27. Tavares, as usual, a standout, and Zach Hyman, as he returns, as usual, doing his typical get the puck, create chances, Zach Hyman thing.
There's a reason that coaches love a guy like Zach Hyman, because he's predictable. In a sport where there's so many variables, you know what you're going to get from Zach Hyman. He knows what he is as a player, and the guys with him know what he is. He stays onside. Connor Brown puts it in a good area for him. What does he do? He protects the puck, quick shoulder check, find out where everybody is, let help come in, little indirect pass off the boards to Hainsey, and then front of the net, create some traffic, goal post and in. You just know what you're going to get. And there's a bandwidth with him, but he's always within the bandwidth. He's never really low. He doesn't have the high-end talent, but his skill is unique, and he brings it every night. And he's a guy who you're writing his name in the lineup card in ink every single night. And right at the end, all he's doing is protecting Mitch Marner's goal here. That is a selfless play, and plays like that go well-noticed by their teammates.
I ain't doing that. That one's going in.
Oh, you'll never see Ole Husson more.
If I'm going to skate that hard, I'm putting it into the net.
The other thing, Michael Hutchinson does his job. And the job right now for any Leafs goalie until Freddie Anderson's back, just allow three or less. When the Leafs allow three goals or less, they've now won 19 hockey games in a row.
There you go. James Duthie in the TSN hockey panel. If Hutchinson continues to play like this, you got to think he's going to be preferred to Babcock for the stretch run, being the Maple Leafs backup. I know it hasn't been a lot of games, but the head coach, whether it's being forced or otherwise, it just seems like the team is comfortable with that netminder playing behind them. He's far from perfect. Might not even be a Curtis McElhinney in terms of that kind of quality, but you can't argue with a couple good performances, including tonight when things got touch and go. Yeah, you don't love the second goal that he gave up, but good enough to beat a very bad hockey team tonight. On Tavares, it's incredible. He's never scored 40 in his career. 38 is his career high, 27 already. I mean, a reliable 30-goal-a-year scorer, he's three goals away from that. And he's, what, played 43 games? He's durable. He wins faceoffs. And right now, that line with the return of Zach Hyman and the creative Mitch Marner, it's working. It looks good. And that's something that you don't want to mess with. And I don't think that Babcock will mess with it. He can really trust all three players. No qualms there. And that's why that unit is going to stick together. And let's just bury the criticism, please. And the hockey snobs out there that look at one corner or one line in statistical analysis in terms of the numbers and not how he has an effect on all the players around him. Hustle, physicality, that the proper mentality, the work rate, the effort. Check, 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 check. And that leads to goals and good things happening for your hockey team. It's quite apparent that you can't have all guys that are cut from the same cloth. He's a different type of player on a team that needs a whole lot more of what he brings to the table. He's not the solution, but he's part of it. Zach Hyman, noticeable in his return. If he's not going to get the first star, it's going to be Tavares or vice versa. Heck, you can give the three stars to Marner, Tavares, and Hyman, and you can figure out what order that you put them in. Those three were dominant tonight in the Maple Leafs 4-2 victory. Let's hear from Zach Hyman returning from that injury to the place where he sustained that injury and all through it and around it. And when it comes to an end, he gets to chat with our very own Mark Masters in the Swamp.
Zach, your first game since December 18th. How did you feel out there?
Felt good, yeah. It was nice to be back out there with the guys, and it was a good first period, so it was nice to get that start.
You haven't played in a while. Like, what's the biggest challenge?
Just getting into the flow of things, I think. But, you know, I thought it was a good game, for a good first game back, good win, so I was happy with it.
Leafs now 21-0 when leading after two, and you seem to really grind this game down. What did you guys do well in the third period?
Yeah, third period was good for us. We were, you know, got the puck behind them. We didn't really turn it over and feed into their track, and we just played heavy, so it was a good period.
Puck rolling towards an open net, courtesy Mitch Marner. You see it. What's going through your mind?
I just didn't want it to not go in, so I just was skating with it, and then I went in, so I just left it, and it was good. Not, you know, I can't get all the empty net goals.
Is he grateful? He thank you?
Yeah, he didn't know if I touched it or not, so it's funny.
Finally, we're just hours away from the end of voting for the last man in for the All-Star game. I know you've been a big supporter of Morgan Riley, who picks up another assist tonight. Just want to give you the floor here. You know, what do you have to say to any undecided voters out there?
Just vote Mo. Do the right thing. Yeah, how much time do they have left?
Just until midnight Eastern.
Midnight. You got to get your votes, and if you haven't got your 10 in, get them in. Vote Mo.
You heard it here. Thanks, Zach.
Cool. Thanks.
I like the sounds of that. Vote Mo. It's a nice touch. But the All-Star game doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It's a joke. The honor means something and should mean something. Too bad they killed the process. They just killed it. That's on the league. Yeah, sure, Morgan Riley absolutely deserves to be there. But I wish the game and what it means to actually be an NHL All-Star just meant a little bit more. Anyways, Zach Hyman's telling you to vote for Morgan Riley. You got an hour and 40 minutes to get on it and cast your vote if you so shall please. Gord Miller's going to join me in about 20 minutes' time, and you're going to hear from John Tavares after his 28th and 29th goals of the season. He's reached and eclipsed the 300-goal plateau of his NHL career. And I want to hear from you, Toronto, 416-870-1050. Are you a Zach Hyman hater? Or do you want to come on air and explain to the listening millions why Hyman plays a critical role to the success of this Maple Leafs team? Exhibit A, tonight's performance in the 4-2 victory. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Toll free at 1-855-591-6876. This is Maple Leafs Game Night and the Post Game Show. I'm Wheels, and this is TSN 1050 in Toronto. Want to give Zach Hyman some praise? Or are you one of the haters out there? Because Hyman was all over it tonight in a Maple Leafs 4-2 win over the Devils. As our Maple Leafs Game Night post-game show rolls on, Gareth Wheeler with you at Wheeler TSN. Don't feel like chatting, that's cool. The text is 10-50-50. Although the Maple Leafs win, beat a New Jersey Devils team, which, let's be honest, is horrible. Maple Leafs don't really make up any ground on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Well, they don't, because the Lightning come back. They scored three unanswered to beat the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. 3-1 was the final. Braden Point with two more goals. Dude is an absolute stud. They do pick up ground on the Boston Bruins. They fell to the Washington Capitals in Beantown. 4-2 was your final. Alexander Ovechkin's up to 32 goals. His 128th multi-goal game of his career. He scored two on the night in the 4-2 victory. Next up for the Leafs and Bruins, a date with one another Saturday night right here on TSN 1050. The Islanders keep on winning. They won on Broadway against the Rangers 4-3. Blue Jackets beat the Predators 4-3 was the final. So all these teams in the Eastern Conference that are kind of in the mix keep on picking up points. The Habs are about to fall to the Blues. They're really on the periphery though, aren't they? It's 4-1 in St. Louis at present time. We're all looking to see how the power play looked as Mike Babcock threw kind of his power play lines in the blender. I think the story is being blown completely out of proportion, but that's just me. I mean, the power play is only 1 of 15 over its last seven games, that is, and they were 0-for-1 tonight, and the power play came in the first like 3 minutes of the game. So they're 1 of 16. Tonight was not the game that you're looking to be an indicator. In fact, in terms of the Maple Leafs' performance, I don't think tonight is the night that you're going to say, okay, that was a litmus test, or that is a game that shows whether the group is ready for Friday night against Boston. It was 3-0 after the first. It should have been a walk in the park. It wasn't. They played down to New Jersey's level in the second period before righting the ship in the third. That's your game story right there. As well as the performances of that top line, Marner, Tavares, and Hyman, all sensational. Including JT, John Tavares, or as Joe Bowen likes to call him, and I'm going to jump on that train, Johnny Toronto. Because that free agent signing, I mean, that is what an $11 million a year player looks like. 27 goals in what, 43 games? I mean, he is being unreal this season. You have 43 games, 27 goals, and 20 assists. Scored two tonight, the first in the draft class of 2009 to reach the 300-goal mark in his career. Now he's got 301, and he just keeps on rolling. Here's what John Tavares had to say in his post-game press scrum.
John, provide a perspective from the milestone of hitting 300 and being able to get it done on the road and getting a team win, obviously, in the end.
Well, it's always that much more satisfying when it contributes in a big win, so especially bouncing back after the other night. So, I think a credit to a lot of guys I played with over my career. Obviously, a big part of helping me be successful and just trying to be consistent as long as I've been in the league and don't want to stop there.
Mitch is Mitch, but how important was Zach to the success early on in that opening period?
Yeah, I think all night. I think you see his contributions on the penalty kill, certainly on the forecheck. So much trust in him winning battles and 50-50 pucks, how good he is at coming out of those and just putting pressure on the opponent. And he just makes things happen with that. And so predictable that way, so consistent on a nightly basis. So definitely great to have him back and fortunate to be playing with him.
John, a win is a win, but anything bothers you at all the way the Devils are able to kind of climb back in the second period?
Honestly, I don't really think they had a whole lot other than they scored two quick goals on us. I mean, I think the third period was really well done. We could have, I think, probably had a couple. We didn't really give them much. I don't think they generated a whole lot in the third. Obviously, you don't want to give up those two goals, but I like the way we responded. And I think overall, we played pretty well. I mean, certainly we can be better. And I think we always strive for more and know we're trying to raise our game and continue to find ways to improve. But I think overall it was a pretty good game.
Why do you think you've been able to score this year at a pace we haven't seen in the NHL before?
I don't know. I don't really think about it. I just try to go out there and be as best prepared, be as consistent as I can be. Try to be just hard to defend, find different ways to produce, not just in certain situations, whether it's around the net, off the cycle, on the rush, obviously on the power play. Obviously playing with some pretty good players throughout the lineup. So I'm just trying to be ready for those opportunities and capitalize and just try to play my game. So, just want to keep it going.
Sounds really excited, doesn't he? So excited he just can't hide it. Come on, Johnny. Sure, have a little bit of a pulse. Tavares, as long as he keeps on scoring goals, who cares? But you'd think he'd be a little bit more excited. Nope. Tavares, 29 on the season and looking fine. Maple Leafs beat the Devils 4-2 was the final. Gordon Miller had the call on TSN 4. He's going to step in and jump on and provide his perspective on tonight's win. That's coming up. Nothing after the first 20 minutes. What's going through your head is, oh wow, it's going to be a long night for Gordon Miller and Ray Ferraro. Seriously, because it looked like it was going to get ugly. You got to go into the treasure chest of stories and ways to fill a broadcast. But no, the Devils made it a game in the second period, 2 goals in 26 seconds. And it wasn't until the empty netter went into the back of the net, Mitch Marner sealing it for the Maple Leafs, that the game and the W was on ice. A 4-2 win tonight in Jersey. This is our Maple Leafs post-game show on Maple Leafs Game Night. Gareth Wheeler with you. And joining me for the comforts of Hoboken, New Jersey, it is the great Gord Miller at G Miller TSN. I thoroughly missed him today on Leafs Lunch, but I hope tonight his game call did it for you and made up for our loss not having him on this station earlier in the day. How did today go for you, Gord? How was the broadcast?
I was on Leafs Lunch today, Gareth.
You were hosting?
I talked to Andy. I didn't host. I talked to Mark and Greg and those guys on the show today for the 12:40 or 12:20.
See, you weren't in.
Well, there you go. You could have had your.
You weren't in studio, Gord, so I just completely ignored. I just turned off. If it was a Gord Miller free zone, I'm not subscribing.
There you go. It was fun. It was a fun night. You know, it wasn't a great. I mean, there were long stretches. Ray said at one point in the third period when there was like face off win shot. That we're going to chip this game away 3 seconds at a time. I thought the Leafs played really well in the first period. You know, the second period was more even. The Devils got those two quick strikes. And then I thought Toronto played better in the third. I mean, they outshot them badly. New Jersey didn't really get near the net. You know, I will say this. This is a very depleted New Jersey team.
Yes.
You know, no Taylor Hall, no Marcus Johansson. They're, you know, Corey Schneider, their goaltender's out. They don't know when he's going to be back. So they're not, you know, a lot of things went right for New Jersey down the stretch last year to make the playoffs. You know, Kincaid just played out of his mind. Taylor Hall went on a tear like no one's ever seen, you know, from him. And so, you know, this Jersey team looks more like the team that's missed the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years.
And that's why after 20, it's 3-0. The Maple Leafs are all over the Devils. You're like, okay, the first game that these two teams played, it was 6-1. Then it was 7-2. I honestly thought we were staring down an 8-3 tonight. It's just the natural progression. But those two goals in 26 seconds, they kind of changed the complex of the game. What exactly happened in that second period, Gord?
I think, you know, they got a little loose for whatever reason. They just, you know... Jake Gardner had a couple pucks bounce over his stick and led odd man rushes, and they just weren't quite as crisp as they were in the first period, and the two pucks wound up in the back of the net. But that's, you know, I mean, I do think at some point you have to say, like, the other guys are trying too.
Yeah.
And this idea that you're going to impose your will on people all the time in the NHL is just a fallacy. You're not. You know, I mean, at a certain point you got to say the other guys are getting paid to play too, and they're playing for their lives. I mean, New Jersey, you know, if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to have to go on a crazy run here and start winning, especially games at home, where they've been quite good this year. So they just don't, you know, New Jersey doesn't have maybe the same kind of back end that other teams do. They don't have a puck mover like a Morgan Riley. You know, they're more of a defensive-based team. I think they hoped that Vatanen would be that guy when they got him from Anaheim, but he hasn't been. So they just don't generate, like, you could see late in the game, like with six minutes to go in, they just never got any established zone time. They couldn't get the puck out of their own zone, and, you know, they couldn't get the goalie out to like 55 seconds left because they couldn't establish possession. And that's really tough in the NHL. When you can't establish possession for any length of time, it's really tough.
No kidding, especially when there is such a gap between the talent on one team and the talent on the other team. Like, every time I looked up tonight, it just seemed like Tavares, Marner, and Hyman, they were playing on another level, Gord. It's like they were the story of tonight's game, how good that line was. The rest of the Maple Leafs, I'm curious on what your assessment would be about the rest of the team, because that top line certainly did their job and stood out in a real positive way tonight.
I thought Nylander was really good tonight. I thought William Nylander had lots of jump and had some chances and some looks. I mean, the puck didn't go in for him, but I thought he was good tonight. Austin Matthews had some good moments as well. Kadri was good. No, I thought their forwards played well. I think what happened in the second period was, you know, defensively they got a bit loose and the puck wound up in their net. And the problem with that is when you do it against New Jersey, they score twice. When you do it against Tampa, they score four times. That's what you got to be careful about. You know, Boston puts four of those in the net. Tampa puts four of those in the net. That's what you got to be careful about.
Gord Miller joining us from New Jersey. He was on the call tonight on TSN for Maple Leafs. Beat the Devils. 4-2 was the final. Zach Hyman is going to get a lot of plaudits coming out of tonight's game, and rightfully so. It really showed you what they miss when he's not in the lineup, doesn't it, Gord? Like, there's a lot of talent. We all know what a lot of these players can bring to the table, but there's no one quite like Hyman on this team.
No, and you know what? I know some people, you know, wonder about Mike Babcock's love affair with him, but he shows you tonight the element that he brings. And it can't always be quantified. It can't always be measured. But Zach Hyman brings a lot to the table. He brings effort. He brings a level of relentlessness to the game that is just an element that they need. And I think that, you know, it's an attribute that is hard to define and even harder to measure. But it really matters when you have it. And I think when you look at good teams, they have that. And so when he's doing what he does tonight, he's just relentless. And he's got good instincts, and it makes a big difference.
And there's a fit. It seems like Tavares and Marner, like, that line just works. So you can juggle elsewhere, just leave those three alone. And look, Tavares, the returns that he's providing – in the first year of a mega contract that he signs. Mm-hmm. It's absolute value. 29 goals. Like, did you think with Tavares coming to the Maple Leafs, you're staring down at maybe a 40-goal season for a guy that's never gone over 38 in his career? Like, 29, I should say, right now. It's just, it's incredible how many times we look at free agent busts. This guy's worth every penny and more.
But this is a guy who didn't get a chance in the island to play with other elite level players. You know, I mean, I made the comment at the time that the Leafs signed Tavares that he's a superstar player and you want to have him. My question was, can you afford to have him going forward? Can you make it all fit? And that's an ongoing question for Toronto. But I never doubted that John Tavares would be productive. He's been productive every year of his career, everywhere he's ever been. Like, there's never been a doubt about his productivity. No one's ever said that was a blip for him or that was a fluke. I mean, he dragged those Islander teams, and everybody who played in his line was productive. So I didn't doubt that. You know, the question, I think, you know, at some point we got to say, let's just enjoy the year and enjoy his talent. You know, that's tremendous. The salary cap stuff and the contract stuff will come in the summer for Toronto. But right now, he's giving you everything you possibly want. And, you know, I think there were reaches in free agency sometimes. I mean, you know, the money that Milan Lucic got or Andrew Ladd or some of those guys were reaches on guys that might have had one or two good years. This guy had 8 great years.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been incredible. So they're going to need him, Hyman, Marner playing at their best on Saturday night against the Bruins. Boston lost tonight against the Capitals in what was, we had the game up. It was physical.
Ovi on Chara? How about
exactly.
Ovi on Chara?
And then goes and scores two goals.
Don't get him into the bench.
Yeah. The Bruins on Saturday, I mean, that's a big matchup. What needs to improve from what you saw from this Maple Leafs performance tonight ahead of Saturday night's, you know, just massive game against the Bees?
Well, I think obviously you've got to be a little tighter defensively. You've got to make better decisions in your own zone. You've got to make better decisions at the opposition blue line, too. You've got to make better decisions of when to hold and when to back up. You know, it won't be Freddie Anderson by the sounds of it on Saturday, so we won't see the Leafs' full lineup against Boston, which we haven't really seen all year, right? So that ends their season series. We haven't seen Toronto's full lineup get against the Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Freddie Anderson comes back, and presuming no one gets hurt on Saturday, the Leafs, for the first time this year, will have their full lineup.
Will certainly right? help,
Nylander
right?
In, right? Nylander in, Anderson back, Matthews in, like Hyman in, like their lineup. That they, at the start of the year, would have looked at and said, this is the lineup we want.
McAvoy still out for the Bruins. They're still down some players. But, hey, you know what? This is what it's all about. With Tampa winning again tonight, that first-round matchup against the Bruins is looking that much more inevitable as the day goes on. And we're looking forward to Saturday night. The game can be heard right here on TSN 1050. I'm going to speak on behalf of Leafs Nation, Gord. Good to have you guys back. Your first game back after the World Juniors. Is it a big adjustment going from one brand to another?
A little bit, yeah. The pace of the World Junior and the intensity is a little higher. And you know, because NHL players don't make the mistake that junior players make, right? They're a little calmer. They don't, you know, they don't rattle as easily, which is why we like the junior tournament, by the way.
Sure.
And the energy in the building is a little different. But hey, I got to say, 80s night in New Jersey was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a funny event. There was a lot of funny stuff on the scoreboard.
What was the highlight, Gord?
They had Rock'em Sock'em Robots. The highlight was Ken Danico in a hairband wig.
Right on.
I mean, it was priceless.
By the way, I appreciated you and all the guys in your 80s pictures as well. You're getting more handsome with age, Gord. You're like a fine wine.
Yeah, you know, some wine just turns to vinegar with age.
Thanks for doing this, Gord. Are you on Leafs lunch tomorrow?
I am on Leafs lunch tomorrow. Presuming if I get out of Newark, I'll be on Leafs lunch tomorrow.
Right on, buddy. That means I will be listening. Thanks for this. Good to have you back.
You too. Take care, bud.
The great Gord Miller at G Miller TSN, the voice of TSN hockey. He and Ray Ferraro back in the saddle, back at it in Newark tonight for the 4-2 Maple Leafs win over the Devils. Hey, he even got to call a Ron Hainsey goal. You're going to hear from Uncle Ronnie next, and we'll give you and bring you up to speed on tonight's very busy NHL scoreboard. All that coming up as Maple Leafs game night and the post-game show rolls on here on TSN 1050. Coming up in a few moments' time, Maple Leafs beat the Devils 4-2 for instant reaction. Well, the day after reaction. Tune in to First Up, Landsberg and Koliakovo, 6 to 10 a.m. right here on TSN 1050. Wheeler with you. Let's hear from Ronnie Hainsey. Scored his fourth goal this four. He scored four goals. Ron Hainsey opened the scoring tonight for the Buds. Here's what he had to say post-game.
Got the lead. Got into a bit of a track meet in the second period, which it was not to our advantage. It wasn't the worst period. We had plenty of chances in their end, but coming off of that, we didn't do a good enough job with our defensive structure, and in turn, they were able to get some chances. We got lost in the D-zone once and totally blew a coverage. And then, they made a nice play across and drop, but the third period was really, really good after that, one of our better periods. I don't think we gave up much, and we generated a lot, so the third was something to really be pleased with.
Ron, can you measure Zach's impact on your goal and what he was able to do down low to set
I think
up?
He's the one who dug it out, right? And then yeah. I think him and Browning were both in front. So, I mean, those guys do such great work in front of the net. You're not scoring from out there anymore. It's obvious now. All these goalies are so good. You need those guys, but I think Zach dug it out and got it up top and made his way to the front. I mean, that's just who he is as a player. He does it for us game in, game out. When he's out there, we certainly missed him.
There you go, Ron Hainsey post-game. I'll give Zach Hyman my first start of the game. What the hell? Coming back from injury, having an instant impact. There you go. Shouts to Tavares. Maybe they can share that player of the game. NHL scoreboard tonight, I've been telling you. It was a real good game in Boston tonight. Capitals doubled up on the Bruins. 4-2 is the final. Backstrom Ovechkin gets a couple. He's up to 32. Vrana's 15. Donato and Krejci for the Bees. Islanders outlast the Rangers 4-3. Leonard gets the win. 27 saves. Bailey, Barzal, Eberle, and Lee. Faust, Shattenkirk, and Strome in a losing effort. Flyers win a game. Hey, Hart with 37 saves as Konechny and JVR. JVR 7th. Flyers win. Ben gets the lone marker for the Stars. Jackets win in overtime. Win number 600 for John Tortorella. First American head coach to reach that mark. Panarin gets the game winner in overtime. He gets two, so does Jenner. Braden Point with two goals. He's up to 28. Lightning beat the Canes 3-1. Blues beat the Habs 4-1. And just in, the Minnesota Wild beat the Jets 3-2 was the final. There, three games going on. No score between Senators and Kings. McDavid has his 25th. Oilers are tied up in Edmonton 2-2 with the Panthers. And no score between the Canucks and Coyotes. The Golden Knights lead the Sharks 1-0 through a period of play. That's all for me. I want to thank Tyler. I want to thank Natasha, Arad, and my main man, Andy McNamara. I'll be back in tomorrow night at 7 p.m. ESPN Radio coming up next. Enjoy this Maple Leafs win and enjoy the rest of your night, Toronto.